Good evening, my name is Suffolk Ram.
Skaz, yes.
Welcome to episode 186 of the Van Nens podcast.
We're sure of it this time.
We are sure, and this time brought to you, we're back with normal bandwidth.
Normal bandwidth. Proper bandwidth.
I have to say, Skaz,
not my ugly face for a whole episode.
I listened to the edit, Skaz, and I was very impressed how well you did, given how crappy my audio must have been from last time.
No, it was fine.
Really? I'm surprised.
You'd be surprised. That was all right. It wasn't, like, I mean, I was dreading it. Absolutely dreading it.
Mm.
I got that done in, an hour or two?
Yeah, that's why I sort of tried to keep the last ones a bit short, because I thought I won't be mean and give them, 2.5 hours of crappy audio. And, yeah, I was really surprised how well it came off. I mean, it's not as good a quality. I mean, the recording is coming as good as, this microphone, but it was all right.
I mean, it was a little bit more bassy, and it picked up a bit more room echo. But I mean, other than that, I think it was fine. Because I mean, you were running on a low power laptop.
Yep.
Right, on a 4G internet connection. Now that doesn't impact the local recording quality, right?
No.
But low power laptop on a Linux distro that you hadn't configured the audio sample rate for. I guarantee that it had been set to 44.1 and you're recording in 48. So you'd have had a sample rate mismatch right there. Mm. There'd have been some resampling going on there. And I mean, you were using Audacity with a USB microphone.
Yep.
And not one of your broken microphones too?
It's not a broken one, but it's my old blue mic that I bought many years ago when I first started doing Let's Plays. So, yeah. I mean, it was a nice mic, but it's not a great mic.
Sure.
I mean, when I had to do a lot of fiddling with that before we started to try and get rid of as much background noise as I could, but it's not like this one where it's virtually quiet when you're not talking to it.
Well, yeah, because let's be fair, that is a dynamic microphone. Yeah. I mean, it's had a bit of a boost.
Yeah.
Because it's gone through a pre.
And it's been a bit somewhat abused as well, that microphone. That's often ended up in a bag, and it's traveled an awful lot, that microphone. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it did okay. I was pretty surprised actually how well it sounded. So, very well done, Skaz. I'm impressed.
I'll be honest with you, man. I did some basic noise removal. Put a limiter on it. Did a little bit of EQ on it, and I thought that was fine. Mm. I mean, if that was if someone said to me, right, hey, this is going to be my podcast setup from now until the end of days, I'd say that was more than adequate.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of room echo that I didn't do anything to really get rid of.
No.
Just faintly. And there was, I didn't get rid of any the touchy, clicky, kind of poppy, when you're normally typing on your keyboard. I don't get rid of that stuff anymore, because if I did, I'd be there all day.
Yeah.
But
that's me writing the show notes in real time, so I remember what we talked about.
Yeah, there you go. See, I have the nightmare of listening to this over and over and over again as I edit it. Ram just goes, "Oh, fuck that, mate. We're just doing this once and that's it, you know? Once it's done, I don't want to see this again."
Well, I like to get the show notes done and onto the YouTube description and me almost as quick as I can. So if it looks nice, otherwise it sits there for Trouble is, I don't do it there and then. I'll if I'm not good about doing it the next day, it ends up getting put off.
Yeah, that's the same thing I do with my. So I started doing the vlogs again, didn't I?
Yeah.
If I don't put the description in as I upload it, there might be something a link I wanted to put in there, and then I just completely don't bother putting it in, or the description will stay empty, and it's just like, eh.
Yeah.
But then,
Yeah. The one we did last week, I literally wrote the show notes two hours ago. I literally listened to the episode, started this at 8 o'clock and wrote the show notes and uploaded it been uploaded an hour ago now. So,
there you go. It was proper sitting there on the burner, because I was saying earlier, I was like, shit, did I send that stuff to Ram? I really hope I sent that stuff to Ram, because if I didn't, that's really late.
Yeah, so no, it was me this time. So,
good times.
But yeah, it is. So, Jimmy Jarrett says Leroy.
Leroy! Good old Divine. He's not going to be happy with this episode.
Oh, is he
not? He's
not
going to be happy.
Oh, is he not? No.
Games we've been playing, he's not going to be happy. I'm sorry, Divine.
Oh, dear. Okay. I have to say also, I have a confession to make, because I feel a little guilty, and I've realised all the trolls that go on the world at the moment are all my fault. Right. I've realised this. So back in 2019, I started writing a Dungeon Dragon adventure for my family.
Yes, you did,
And one of the key background information on it was where they were going, there was this strange disease going around that no one could quite sort of work out where it came from. And one of the big evil villains' plot was to put something like the antidote to like infect everybody, control them.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, exactly. This was written back before the COVID
thing happened. What you're saying is... The anti-vaxxers do have some ground here because indeed, the New World Order took your plan. They've read your D&D campaign and took it as gospel.
Well, here's the other thing, you see. My new D&D campaign, I started writing a few months back before this stuff's going on, was about two sides basically mobilising the armies and one side doing an unplanned invasion of the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, ooh, I see, whatever I've been doing my D&D seems to be coming true. So I do feel very guilty, and I need to apologise to everybody that I feel I'm behind COVID and the Russian invasion.
Right, well, I just want to quickly throw out there for folks complaining about the Ukraine, stop changing your Twitter profile pictures and your Facebook profile pictures to include the fucking flag. Okay, I know you're trying to like, oh, look, we're all together, we're all one. You're not together. You're cushy, comfy in your house, you know, flicking through Facebook. Fuck off. It's insulting. You don't know what they feel like.
Nope. One thing you can do is it's possible to donate to the Ukrainian military.
Yeah.
So if you want to swarm, do that. I've sent them some money.
Second note. All right, next note. I know things have recently only just like shit hit the fan style of Ukraine-wise, but this stuff has been going on since like 2014, 2013.
It all sort of started with Crimea. That was sort of like the preamble to it, or it was all like Russians. That was basically Putin's, let's see what happens if we do this, and let's see how everybody else reacts. And the answer was, Putin's been pushing boundaries for the last few years. Mm-hmm. And he's basically pushed to see how far he can go and will do nothing. And until last sort of day or so, what appears to be happening with Ukraine when the Russians first invaded, it was the equivalent of the school bully go up to like the smaller, the other students, like the big school bully, go to other students in the school playground, starting to beat him, and the teacher walk up to him, wagging their finger, saying, "Don't do that, otherwise you won't get reading time later. No, don't do it. I swear, if you don't stop beating him up, I'll take away your computer games. No, don't do it." So that's basically the equivalent of what's been going on until they now forgot something. They've actually started getting a little bit more serious, doing some actual decent stuff to try and vent it. But if I had been a world leader, and obviously this is very much backseat driving.
I was going to say you're the couch diplomat now.
Exactly. So I don't feel safe. However, when Putin first started putting troops there as a supposed military exercise, I would have said, "Hey Ukraine, do you want to do a military exercise? We'll send a lot of our troops over to you to help you to do some military exercises and plant them there." And basically said, "You know, Russia, you want Ukraine to come through us?" And I think he would have backed off there and then. But I am not a full-on diplomat, and probably for best, I'm not running the countries, but I would have done that basically just to say we won't take this, because I'm very angry with the whole thing, how we basically just need to do nothing.
Yeah, because did he not threaten us with... he threatened everyone with nukes. If any of the old NATO countries get involved, he's going to press the button, which, let's be fair, he ain't going to do, because he can't. He pushes that button, he gets fucked up.
Everybody gets fucked up.
Exactly.
And some people say that he's gone crazy, he's gone mad. I don't think so. I think Putin's a very smart guy. Yeah. And he's been a lot of what he's done in the last 10 years has been very calculating, very quick. He wants to create a divided America and cause discord. And there's a lot of evidence that Russia was involved in a Trump election, 2016. There's huge amounts of evidence behind it now. And that achieved a massive goal. There's a lot of evidence that Russia was involved with Brexit and like anti-Britain, you know, pro, you know, let's leave Europe sentiment. And what's it done? It's divided Europe. Mm-hmm. It's that's all worked in his favour. Mm-hmm. So he's basically sort of, I think a lot of this has been not so much engineered fully by him, but definitely the fans flame, the flames fanned by him.
Let's be fair. The Cold War never ended.
No.
We seem to have this crazy idea that all that fluff stopped, and it just kind of, it didn't. You know, we no one won. It just kept on going. Just people stopped paying attention.
I would argue that a Cold War is the norm. The state of is pretty much in the state of history.
We're just poking at each other.
Yeah, there's never a time of true absolute peace between everybody. There's always been tensions between even sort of friendly nations. There's always been those old tensions here and there. So either the Cold Wars are the default state of the world. But yeah, I'm so angry. But I really don't want to get bogged down in Ukraine and Russia, but all I can say is, come on, Ukraine, kick the Ruskies out.
And like I say, in my opinion, this all started like from understanding of it, and I know folks who live in Ukraine.
Do you know if they're okay or
they're living in basements? They can hear gunfire and and all that. It's not great.
Any of them in Kiev, or are they sort of like? Well, soon they must be in Kiev.
I don't know where they are right the now.
Right.
They just kind of flutter about as and when available or when they can, kind of thing.
Well, I hope they keep safe.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. But the trick is, from what I understand, from my understanding of it, this all kicked off probably somewhere between 2014 and 2016-ish. So like, it might have been 2014, it might have been later, I don't know, right? But it's been slowly but surely, you know, pushing on the accelerator since then. Mm. It's never been completely peaceful in Ukraine, just right now it's gone right off the cliff.
No.
So for me, it's really been annoying for me that people are only now going, oh, stop doing it, stop doing it. They had APCs on the border years ago.
Yeah.
Like,
I think the trouble is if that becomes sort of like a normal situation. Yeah.
It was a war zone for people on the outskirts for probably the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Ish. I mean, I could be completely wrong there. I could just be pulling numbers out of my ass, but, you know, that's just my understanding of it. It has never been truly peaceful on those borders for the longest time. It was peaceful in the capital was all right. It kind of calmed down, but now it isn't.
Yeah, it sounds like it's more like sort of the odd little skirmishes and stuff here and there. This is now a full-on invasion. So it has escalated.
Like if you were going to support Ukraine, you should have been supporting them years ago. Because those poor fuckers, like no one deserved, you shouldn't have what is effectively like the light flames of war on your borders. You shouldn't have it.
No.
Just because it's now turned into a fucking blazing inferno, you're a little late to show your... Well, I mean, it's never too late to show support, but you know what I mean? No. I just felt like it's a bit of a cop-out, especially when all I see is people fucking putting pictures on Facebook. Piss off.
You know, it's all... Yeah. If you want to help, send some money to them. There's routes and means, and I'll put a link in the show notes, although hopefully by the time this podcast goes out, things will perhaps hopefully start to settle down, because the latest news is Russia's not doing that great. So, but who knows where things will be when we next broadcast. But I'll put a link in the show notes anyway to the official donation page where you can send money across. Yeah. You know, that's worrying to do. I mean, do that, but don't just like put. Just change your YouTube banners and help anybody.
We're raising awareness. It's all over the news. Yeah. We can't be any more aware of it. I mean, when normies start to pay attention, you can stop raising awareness.
Yeah, it's everybody knows what's going on in Ukraine. It's not like some little border skirmish going on. Everybody knows what's going on in Ukraine at the moment. I mean, hats off. There are people now going over there who, like, you know, people who, like, sort of, there's stories now of, like, ex-military people over here going there to fight. and join up, and you know, good on them. You know, they're living a nice life in the UK. Well, I assume it's nice in the UK, and they're now deciding to go over and actually fight. But then that's for a country that's not even theirs. That's putting, you know, that's that respect to that.
Yeah,
you're happy to go and do it. You know, full respect to that. So the UK government doesn't stupid about it afterwards. It's a horrific situation, and I hope it gets resolved quickly.
I'm sure neither side, like the civvies, I'm sure neither side wants to go to war.
No.
I hope this is over quickly. Minimal casualties.
Yep.
And we can all, like, you guys can all get back to your fucking lives.
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't happen. This is
yeah.
higher power making decisions. Most people don't want it.
Yeah. If I could do more than just send money, I would. But that's basically. I'm not a special forces soldier. I know it's hard to believe if you look at my physique.
It's true.
It's hard to believe. It's
very true.
I'm not the guy to go out there with a rifle. I've got no depth perception, so I'd probably miss anyway. I was never really good at paintball. I was only ever good at airsoft when I had a 600 round magazine and my target stood still with his back towards me.
And it stings.
So I can't help you out on that, but I can at least send you some funds, which hopefully you can buy a missile or something, and I don't know. So I've sponsored a soldier, and hopefully I'll get my little monthly updates every so often with a little picture of him looking happy with some new ammunition.
You get fridge magnets and, yes. So, and all that sent through.
Yeah, a little picture of him smiley face saying, now Skesny has another 500 rounds for his AK-47, thanks to your donation. The campaign's come out saying, I have sniper rifle, but I have no ammunition. Could I have, please? I would really appreciate some rounds so I can shoot some Russians.
No, fucking the next campaign will be to get him a scope.
yeah.
He's got the scope for his sniper rifle, but he ain't got the rifle yet.
Yeah. It comes in a bit part magazine series.
Yeah, that's it.
Just over
weekly issues.
Yeah, in just over 700 weekly issues, you too can build this. Your first edition comes with this lovely hammer pin for your rifle, plus a lovely binder to keep them all in.
That'd be a fantastic campaign.
Yeah.
We shouldn't take the piss, but
oh no, but I know we're joking about, but in all seriousness, no one deserves to have their country invaded, and to think in this day and age, it shouldn't happen these days. It just shouldn't.
No,
you know, where the world's got a lot bigger issues to face at the moment than being invaded.
They say war comes after plague, don't they?
They do, and the world doesn't deserve what's happening. No one deserves what's happening at the moment, and we shouldn't. In 2020,
the world was then coming to normality. Yeah. Let's stop fucking about.
Yeah, in the 21st century, this sort of thing should be in the past.
Mm-hmm.
In all seriousness, this is the sort of stuff we did back in the Middle Ages. We shouldn't be still doing it thousands of years later. So. But if we do get called up, Skaz, which division do you want to go fight in World War III?
Oh, mate, I'll be dead in a heartbeat, so I don't care.
Oh, you couldn't. But which division you want to be dead in first, then?
Fuck, mate, just pick one. It doesn't really matter to me, does it?
I feel I'd be quite good in the logistics corps, because I'm quite good at doing stop movements and stuff, so I'm going to see if I can get into the logistics, maybe. And then I could be in the tent behind the lines. I mean, I don't know if they do a motorbike division, but they might do.
Oh, that'd be beautiful.
Yeah.
Let's be fair. Anyone from the UK that ain't already trained, right, to send us, like, over there, or to send anyone, like, average Joe Public in the UK is more interested in fucking dancing on TikTok and arguing about vaccines and climate change and, you know, the ethics of a McDonald's cheeseburger.
Mm.
Right, and then you've got children in Russia fucking, you know, stripping AKs. Like, yeah, no, this is what, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you want plenty of fodder, we've got it.
Yeah. So
they can act brave all they like. We ain't got it.
Well, sad thing. So fingers crossed this all's over soon. Fingers crossed that there'll be happier times on our next podcast in a fortnight's time. We'll be able to discuss happier things.
Sure.
So, but
I hope.
Let's move on.
There's a lot of good game devs in the Ukraine.
Yes, there are.
Loads of great hackers in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
I know loads of hardware engineers in the Ukraine. Fucking top-notch geezers.
Did you see the news about the potential issue for chip manufacturers because of Ukraine?
No.
We have a
theory. Can I just throw this out there, right? For when all this goes to pot, okay? China sides with Russia. China leads on Taiwan.
Yep.
Is that where TSMC is?
One of the
places by China. China leans on them. We're fucked. If you think the chip shortage is bad now, it's going to get it'll get worse if China leans.
So,
go on, Brad, please.
Neon lasers are commonly used in chip manufacturing. Okay, Where do you think like one of the world's biggest sources of neon comes from?
Oh, let's guess Ukraine.
Yes. So you thought that?
Oh dear.
You thought that GeForce 3070 is expensive now?
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Let's not go there, Ram.
Yeah. So. Tis sad. So. But anyway, let's move on to happier things. Skaz, what have you been playing?
Oh, I thought you said you wanted happier things. This is misery for me. This is a first world problem right now, okay? So, for anyone that doesn't know, you know, for people who have, you know, if you haven't been paying attention to other things in the world, right? From Software just released their latest Souls-like title called Elden Ring, which is basically Demon Souls, Dark Souls, Bloodborne, Sekiro, Souls, but in an open world rather than, you know, tight corridors and stuff like that, because that's what Souls generally are. The Souls games are, you know, tight corridors, castles, that kind of fluff. You know, you don't have a huge amount of room to move. It's quite linear, learn the pattern. For some reason they decided that teaming up with the guy who wrote Game of Thrones was a good idea, and that they would put that exact same gameplay into a big open world. They just released that yesterday. I've just looked, it's yesterday, and in typical From Software fashion, it's shit. No, sorry. I like From Software. Right. As far as Souls games are concerned, I've been playing them since the start with Demon Souls on PlayStation 3. Every single time a Souls game has been released on PC, though, the port has been absolutely shit. And, oh, mate, this one's a doozy. This one is a doozy. And whilst I wasn't hugely looking forward to Elden Ring, because I've got a bit of Souls burnout, because they started to release Souls games like Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty, you know, just regular as clockwork with very little change formula wise. I was like, oh great, here we go. I didn't want to look at any trailers. I didn't want to kind of spoil it for myself. And as you know, Ram, I'm a sucker for soundtracks. So when I realized I could get the old Elden Ring soundtrack when I bought the game, I was like, okay, I'm just going to get it. I'm going to jump in. It's a Souls game. I can't say no. And I get it. And so for anyone that doesn't know, I've just recently fixed my PC, kind of. We're testing it now. And my PC has gone from what used to be high range, it dropped down to mid range, didn't it, as the new graphics cards came out. I'm now back in the kind of middle-high tier. And the game runs like a complete ass on a stick on my machine. And apparently this is a problem universally, regardless of what specs you have. So even if you have one of the Core i9 chips, like the really high-end Intel chips, and you have an RTX 3090, the highest end of NVIDIA's graphics cards, you cannot get that game to run on PC smoothly. At fucking 720p low, you still can't get that game to run smoothly. How Elden Ring got past quality control, fucking beyond me.
So, now my question is, because I've seen a few things posted about this, but is everybody up in arms about this like they were about Cyberpunk?
Yeah, quite a lot.
Good.
some people are like, oh, it's not that bad, but I mean, I was walking up a flight of stairs just before the tutorial zone, and the game went from 60 to about 45 frames a second. Walking up a flight of fucking stairs. Every single time you see a new enemy or a new effect is displayed, the game lags. Souls games are games where you have to generally learn patterns and react based on what you see. But if all of a sudden the game goes from a smooth 60, and by the way, 60 is the maximum that game can run at, because it's capped, right? When it chugs, you feel it. It slows down. It doesn't just stutter, it slows down. Your controls become completely unresponsive. And given that those are games where, you know, as I say, you look at the enemy and you react based to their animations, right? If all of a sudden it just tanks it, you're dead. You're done. If you end up having slowdown at any point, you are done. You ain't dodging the enemy's one shot hit if all of a sudden you've gone from 60 down to 45 or 60 down to 30.
And I'm assuming that it's a case of, because in most Souls games, you are punished for dying somewhat.
So, I'm going to say this now. Right, for anyone that doesn't think this is a Souls game, you are completely full of shit. Right, all they've gone and done is changed the names of some of the fucking items. Right, bonfires, which are checkpoints, are still in the game. They're just not called bonfires. I can't remember what they're called. Right, the Estus flask just isn't the Estus flask anymore. It's something else. Right. The mechanics to get your Estus flasks back are largely the same. Rest at bonfires. Level up. Rest at bonfires, or what the fuck ever they're called in this. Combat is near enough, for me at least, for the most part, has been identical to other Souls. I think, like, there's a shield slam mechanic now. There's, like, a few tweaks, but for the most part, it's Souls. Right? You kill enemies, you get Souls. You get a currency. Okay, they're not called souls in this, but you get a currency for them, and you use that currency to level up. When you die, you lose that currency, and you have the chance to get it back. So you go back to the last checkpoint, and you get to run back to that zone, killing all the enemies again, because as you die, all the enemies get respawned back in. You get to run back through, and you get another chance to take those enemies out. And if you get to your corpse and you touch that corpse, you get all your souls back. If you die before you get to that corpse, you lose all of the souls that you had on it. That's the punishment for dying. But the trick is, because the game's frame rate is so fucking all over the place, even on high-end hardware, you're going to die a lot. A lot more than you should do. Through no fault of your own.
Yeah, so you're being doubly punished.
Yeah. I mean, I was rocking through a zone. I'd got through the starter zone and it was okay. With a few minor drops into the 45s, into the 40s, I was like, okay, not a problem. And I started marching through, and all of a sudden a new enemy turns up and my frame rate, the game practically stopped. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? So we dropped the quality settings down to, like, medium. I was on high. Like, it automatically defaulted me to high. So not max, high. put it down to medium, and my frame rate was still a bit wobbly.
I mean,
but then
your,
all of a sudden,
your machine isn't. Your machine's a pretty powerhouse machine, isn't it? It's not exactly. It's not exactly.
Well, let's put it this way: my machine is now the only thing even remotely lackluster in my machine right now is my processor. And that's no slouch.
No.
It's not like I'm running a quad-core i5 from a few years ago, like 6 years ago or whatever. Now, my machine was current as of 2020. My graphics card is current as of last year.
Yeah.
Okay, like, so my specs, it's an air-cooled, okay, so there's another thing against it. It's an air-cooled 3700X from AMD, and my graphics card is an MSI 3080.
So, again, not a slouch.
It's fucking up there.
Yeah.
And I cannot play that game at all. Rocking around on my... there's like a mount in this now, because it's open world, you need to move around the world faster, right? I get on my mount, I'm rocking down this path, and all of a sudden, these wolves kind of spawn in and attack me. Just regular-ass fucking wolves. Not huge enemies, not like, you know, nothing particularly high in poly count. Wolves. Like two or three of them spawning on this fucking path, and my frame rate hit the floor. I was like, I can't fight them. I can't fight them. I'm going to have to run the fuck away. Like, I could not fight. I couldn't dodge properly. I couldn't block. So I couldn't time to block things properly. I was just like, I'm just going to have to run, because if not, I'm going to die. And I was gobsmacked. I was like, how the fuck did this get through QC? How?
So what's its... How is it playing on the consoles then? How is it? Is it working?
Not great. The Xbox is running okay. Nowhere near as bad as PC. So the Xbox Series X is running okay. You're not getting a smooth 60 on it either. But I don't think you're getting the massive hitches that PC's getting. But the PlayStation 5 is probably the best experience you can get so far. Now, just thrown out there, it's not because the PlayStation 5 is the most powerful of all those systems. In fact, if you were to go, you know, sheer numbers, the PlayStation 5 is the least powerful between my PC, right? So we're not saying, like, average PC. My PC, it goes, my PC, Xbox Series X, PlayStation 5 at the bottom. Mm. My PC is shitting the bed. The Xbox is doing a little bit better. The PlayStation 5 is doing the best. The performance metrics are flipped around. And my theory is that it's because From Software occasionally have exclusivity deals with Sony. So Demon's Souls was a Sony exclusive. Dark Souls was multi-plat, and that was generally, performance-wise, was all over the place on that. Like, when it was on PC, it was fucking terrible. When Souls 2 came out, it was a bit better. Souls 3, better again. Sekiro was multi-plat. Bloodborne, From Software game, PlayStation exclusive. Demon's Souls Remake, PlayStation exclusive. Now, whilst Elden Ring isn't an exclusive, I imagine they've kind of, you know, a little bit under the table, bit of a deal to get it to run nice and smooth on PlayStation, or as smooth as they can at this point.
They basically spent most of the time optimizing it for the PlayStation, by the sounds of
this. Yes.
So, yeah. Get it running on the other two systems, but then we want you to spend the time optimizing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Frankly, as well, so the problem, because I was talking to Chimoth Divine about it.
He's happy with it because he's playing on his PlayStation 5, so sounds like he's all right.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. But the problem for me is, and I imagine that game's going to be great fun, because even in the few hours I did play it, I definitely had some oh fuck yeah moments.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, my heart was going, and I was really getting into the combat. But as soon as that slowdown happened, as soon as them stutters happened, all of a sudden it was like finding a thread. A loose thread on your favorite piece of clothing, and you can't leave it. You just pull it, and then it starts to unravel. And so, as soon as I started having frame rate issues, all of a sudden I started noticing all the graphical issues too.
Mm.
I was like, "This game doesn't look as good as it probably should."
Mm.
The enemy AI isn't as clever as it probably should be. Like, these enemies are moving around in a really dumb fashion. as if they are playing Soul, like if you're playing Souls in a tight corridor. They're not acting like this is an open world at all. The enemies are really quite stupid. And it was, I mean, I don't expect incredible intelligence from enemy AIs from software titles, but this wasn't great. The character models, the main guy you play as, or the main lassie you play as, just looked like a fucking Oblivion Plasticine model. Looked terrible. Absolutely terrible. And so I was like, the illusion was kind of destroyed for me. It probably is a beautiful world with fantastic lore, great, you know, just a great story and all that, a fantastic adventure to be had. But once I started pulling on that loose thread, everything else fell apart for me. And it's a shame, really. I would not recommend people play that game on PC right now at all. In fact, actually, I think that would have been funny if we had Middlemeister on here. Spoiler alert, Middlemeister might have been on this podcast today. I would have said to him, look, mate, your fucking PlayStation 5 would beat the shit out of my PC in this one title. Mm. It shouldn't, for any reasonable reason. But in this game, damn, it does.
Perhaps he's dealing with Freya. Perhaps he's like stuttering through Elden Ring slightly.
Yeah, that might be it. But I mean, and the other thing that annoyed me about it, okay, is that there were pre-order bonuses. Now, don't get me wrong, pre-order bonuses aren't that big of a deal. But it annoys me that certain content is only available in pre-order.
Yes, yeah, so I hate that.
So even if it's just like an emote in-game or like a booklet you can read or something, it fucking infuriates me that that shit is only available as a pre-order bonus.
Yeah, absolutely, totally, 100% agree. I hate, particularly when it's digital stuff. When it's like something physical and they're only making like a few hundred of them.
Like a collector's edition where you get a statue or whatever.
Fair enough, because that's a physical thing. When it's a line of code in a database that says you can have it or not, that I find dickish. I've disliked that because I dislike the idea of punishing players who, because someone come along on the heard of the game a year later and like, oh, I've heard of this, I'll play it. Oh, I've missed out because I didn't hear about it a year ago.
It could be something completely insignificant. Like I say, like in Elden Ring, it's an emote. Like, you know, your character does like a pose or something. And as I say, there's like a digital booklet, I think, that you can read. I don't know what it is. Like there's a digital something else along with this pose. But I looked at a lot of games that I wanted to buy of late. And I mean, like I wanted to buy my son King of Fighters 15. But that has pre-order bonuses as well, or early purchase bonuses. They're only available if you buy the game within the first week of it coming out. But the game's like 50 quid, 50 to 70 quid if you wanted everything. Guilty Gear Strive did the same thing. Gotta buy it within the first week of it coming out, otherwise you miss out on character skins and all that as well. And I'm thinking like, oh, and what was it, Atelier Sophie or something like that is coming out soon or is out, and they're saying, if you don't buy it within the first 2 weeks of it coming out, there's like a load of costumes and stuff that aren't going to be in the game anymore. They might come back.
Yeah.
They might come back later on as DLC, but hey, there's no promises. It's like, you fucking assholes.
You see, I get the idea, but it's the courage to do it. How I'd be more tempted to do it would be a case of, okay, you pre-order it, you get these XYZ DLCs for free.
Yeah, for now, for free. But, and they'll come out later on for you to purchase if you so wish.
After a month after the pre-order period, the pre-order period disappears, and 6 months on out, they all become available for purchase. But you get them for free now.
Because you bought the game when it came out.
Yeah.
That I'm fine with. But I was thinking to myself, like, well, what happens if, like, let's say, for example, my son was, like, born next year.
Yeah.
And then in a few years' time, he's like, I want to play that game that my dad used to play. And he goes and buys it, and all of a sudden there's a character missing or a costume missing or, you know, music is missing or something like that. It's not the same experience for people. You're like, there are going to be people who can't even play just because they weren't there for it.
Yeah. I dislike it totally. Any digital like that, there's no reason for it. There's no limit to it. There's no limit to digital stuff. It's not like, well, we can only produce 1,000 copies of this.
It's a key generator.
Yeah, exactly. It's a line of code in a database. You know, it's not anything complicated. So why why punish people for having the audacity to... Because sometimes it's a case of, I want to buy this game, but I don't get paid for 2 weeks' time. It'll be out by then, so I'll buy it after it comes out. Oh, I'm not going to get the thing. I would have done, but, you know...
In the case of Elden Ring...
I've got limited funds. I can't just honestly draw... This month, I need to repair the car. Or a dog need to go to the vet. Well, that's more important than a game.
So here's the case in Elden Ring, okay? For me, right? Elden Ring comes out on the 25th. When's my payday?
28th or something, I'd imagine.
26th?
Oh, that's annoying.
The day after. But I lose out on the pre-order bonuses because I don't get paid until the day after.
Exactly. It's shit.
You know, and I looked at it. I was like, because I got paid today and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I might just buy it on PlayStation 5. Yet, nope. The pre-order bonuses aren't available to you on the PlayStation 5 anymore. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, like, really? Like, I would have been willing to, but I was like, because I bought it on PC thinking, right, Belial's pretty powerful. I've got a pretty high-end graphics card. I should be able to steamroll this game at 1440p or 4K, no problems, and get proper enjoyment out of it. And plus, if I really wanted to, I could run it on my laptop and, you know, I've got it with me all the time kind of thing. Mm. But no. Just because of a shitty port. And it's like, so I'm being punished because of the platform I bought it on? That I, you know, I can't have... Again, it's only a pose and like a digital art book or some shit like that. But like, I don't know what it is. It's not the art book. It's not the soundtrack. It's something else. It could just be something trivial, like a note in the game or whatever. But you just can't get it now. You just can't have it for no reason other than you didn't buy it on the 24th. You didn't buy it before, you know, the 25th. Just as another random note, by the way, somehow this game has been cleared to run on the Steam Deck.
Really?
It's one of the verified games for Steam Deck.
It may technically run, not very well, but it might technically run.
Yeah. That's mental. I got a notification about the Steam Deck coming out. And I clicked and it said, oh, these are the games that are available in your library. And if you actually look on all the artwork for the Steam Deck right now on the Steam store pages, they all have Elden Ring as like the top game. Like, you know the menu of the Steam Deck? They all have like Elden Ring on them. It's like, fuck off, can that play Elden Ring? A 3090 can't even play Elden Ring at 720p. Because the Steam Deck's only like, what, 720p, 800p, something like that?
Perhaps they've optimized it for PlayStation 5 and Steam Deck.
Fucking yeah, that's why From Software's fucking screwed up everywhere else. They released it. Yeah, mate, we've got to sort it out on the old Proton wrapper so it works fine on Steam Deck. Well,
what you don't realize is like the reverse. So it's designed for Linux, but when it's playing on a PC, it has to convert the Linux commands into PC commands.
Yeah, it runs like shit.
Yeah.
It's funny,
reverse Proton.
So do you remember back in the day when my gaming laptop had a dodgy fan in it and I had them games that were stuttering?
Yes.
And I ran them on my Steam machine and they ran perfectly. Mm. This is the same groove. That's it, isn't it? Linux is just better for gaming than...
Yeah.
Because you got to think, fucking PS5 is what, Unix-based?
I would have thought so. Because PlayStation 4 was Unix-based, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I would have thought they kept to it. I imagine underneath the PlayStation 5's operating system is just a newer version of the one they did previously.
Yeah.
I imagine it's not changed
that much. It plays all the PlayStation 4 games anyway, with the exception of a few that Sony don't like. So, you know, it angered me so much. I just could not believe it. I was actually willing to drop the cash until I saw, oh yeah, you can't get the pre-order bonuses. So I'm going to have two versions of the game, but one of them's going to have all the stuff and one of them isn't. Fuck off.
Elden Ring, fuck off.
How did it get through QC? There's not a PC on the planet that can actually run that game at a solid 60. Not one.
No. So
it's fucking dumb.
There must be some like render farmer that could probably do it.
Probably. I mean, like I said, I've seen tests today. I think Digital Foundry, they're a group that do hardware analysis and gameplay analysis of stuff. Here's some optimized settings you can use. And they're like, yeah, we're on an Intel Core i9 10th gen with an Intel 3090, the game just doesn't run. There's nothing you can do about it. And they tried it on a bunch of other hardware too, and like, yeah, it just doesn't run. If you're on PC, don't bother.
If you dig into the registry files, you'll probably find there's a little line that says, is PS5? And it's probably set to no. If you change to yes, it might run again.
Yeah, it'll run properly.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's just, it's absolutely infuriating. I mean, whether or not, is it DRM? Is it the anti-cheat? Is it the fact it's DX12? Because DX12 now, it's up to the developers to optimize the game rather than the because you know the driver used to do a lot of work before, whereas this is now handed off through DirectX 12. It's more kind of low level, so it just goes straight onto the graphics card. We say what to do. Have they just not done it right? Would this have been better if it was in DX 11?
Maybe,
but just, I don't know.
How what sort of like pedigree From Software got regards to patching their games, fixing their games? Are they one of the people who they tend to be good about doing it?
Well, Sekiro, which was one of their last big PC games, that came out fine. Like, it was okay. Every game since Dark Souls 1, so from 2 onwards, was pretty sound. Like, not fantastic, but sound.
So they know how to make a game work.
They're getting there, or they're getting better. There's always teething issues, but they get there in the end. But this is like, oh my God, mate, it's not even taking a step back. This is throwing themselves off the fucking cliff. It's gone down that badly. And before, though, because, you know, before people would just, the community would normally like throw a patch out to optimize it and kind of switch off a few of the little things that were causing issues. But that's not an option now because of the anti-cheat they have in place. So we are now literally at the mercy of From Software to release as many patches as they can, as soon as they can. People have already started refunding the game.
Yeah,
I mean, as self-entitled PC gamers will, but it upsets me because, for me at least, as a Souls fan, it's ruined it for me.
Yeah.
I know people say, well, they'll patch it eventually. It's like, yeah, but it's too late, so it's ruined it for me now. The stuttering has now let me. I've pulled that thread, and the whole thing has come apart. I've looked at the textures, and I think they look shit. I've looked at the world and found that texture popping is still unreal, and it's distracting. That the AI is thick as two short planks.
I said it's interesting because our nearest sort of like touchstone to this in terms of a game being released on. Someone who should know better and before is obviously the Cyberpunk from a couple of years, just over a year ago now.
Yeah.
This is sort of like the next sort of almost like one. And it's interesting how people aren't learning that. You think they're someone at Forza, I know they're Japanese, you think one of them looked at this stuff and gone, we better make sure it works at least so it's plausible.
Yeah.
I mean, is it like a case of you think yourself, this. Hang on, phrase this nicely. Does the poor frame rate and stuff, is that just to the fact that you can see this game is potentially very pretty, looking very good, it's just that it's not been quite optimized right? Or is it a case of, I don't see why, even in this state, it should be playing like this?
There's no excuse for it to be playing the way it is.
Yeah. It doesn't look good enough.
In my opinion, it does not justify it at all. Like I said, the main character model looks like it's made out of plasticine.
Yeah.
Some of the models look absolutely terrible.
So you're looking at,
don't get me wrong, it's higher res than like a PlayStation model, but they don't look that good.
Yeah.
The lighting looks rather pretty, but outside of that,
higher res means nothing unless it's more detailed. You know.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. It is detailed and stuff. But I'm like, but these don't look fantastic. I've seen much better. Just why the fact that like a stairway because it is loading in the next zone, but the trouble is it doesn't load and cache it, so all of a sudden you're running up the stairwell, it's looking pretty good, it's just a standard ass stone stairway, and your frame rate drops, you've just lost 15 FPS.
Then
all of a sudden you turn back round because your frame rate's just gone back up, you go back down the stairs, oh hang on, your frame rate's dropped again. Okay, I'm at the bottom of the stairs and I'm running around. Hey, my frame rate's back up. You go back to them stairs, though, you'll lose that 15 frames. It's consistent. It's consistently bad.
Very weird.
And this is from right at the start of the game.
Very strange.
There's no way they could have missed it. It doesn't look good enough to justify the shit performance. Because as I say, you can't even brute force it. If you could brute force it, like raw horsepower it, then I'd say, yeah, fine. It's fine. Yeah. It can look as wobbly as you want. Like, we just need to throw more horsepower at it. But that's not even true. If it was a case of it looked gorgeous and we just needed to raw horsepower it, no problem. But that's not the case. It looks all right. I imagine when I get to some of the later zones, the world might look absolutely beautiful. But as it stands, I've not seen anything that blows my mind and goes, that's why this ain't working, right?
Yeah.
You know, the idea that it works better on a console than it does on a full-bore PC kind of shows that realistically it's not that it looks too good. So, you know, it's sad, really, because as you say, with CD Projekt Red, I mean, CD Projekt Red, though, is another company that has traditionally released games in a shit state and patched them over time. Capcom did it with Resident Evil Village. Was it Resident Evil Village, the newest one?
Yeah.
Like, that one had no end of shit issues on PC as well. So you guys have got to fucking pull your finger out. Oh, by the way, no ultra wide support, Ram.
Oh, really?
No ultra wide support in Elden Ring.
In this day and age, yeah.
Locked 60 FPS. Fucking no ultra wide support, and terrible performance.
Yeah.
Repeatable. Terrible performance. It's not like it has to just sit there and cache for 10 minutes as you sit on the title screen or whatever.
Yeah.
Or as you load in the game, it just starts building the caches. Nope, it's consistently bad.
I'll try out my 1070 and see what happens.
Mate, I'll be honest with you, mate. I would love to see it because you are running a quad core, aren't you?
Yes.
Your processor.
Yeah.
I'm curious as to whether or not there's a... Have you ever heard, you know, back in the day, like sometimes the older hardware runs it better?
Yeah, I've heard that.
I'm curious as to whether or not maybe it's just because I'm too powerful, I'm too modern.
I'm too powerful for this game.
But what's weird is, it's based, from what I understand, on Sekiro's engine. And Sekiro was fine.
Yeah.
So,
this must have been,
I don't know.
So I always say this might be the From Software interns who developed this.
Potentially.
Well, the student division they got in.
You know, it does have potential, and I can see why a lot of people would like it. But as I say, I probably wouldn't knock the graphics at all. Mm. At all, had I have not tugged on that loose thread. Because I'd have probably been so absorbed in the combat that I probably wouldn't have even noticed.
Yeah.
But because I did have that low frame rate and those random chugs and those freezes, I then just started pulling on everything, like, fuck this. You know, what the fuck is this problem? Turning down graphic settings and that, and just going, why am I doing this? It's not... There's no reason for this. Like, if I can go all the way down to medium... Like, I mean, my card is capable of fucking 4K, mate.
Yeah.
And I'm sat there at 1080p, and it's locked at 60, and I've got it running at medium settings, and it's still freezing as if I had it on, like, 4K at the max.
So, here's the message here to, like, wait 6 months.
Yeah, don't buy it yet.
If you
want to play Elden Ring and you have the option, and this is ridiculous, really, because not many people have got hold of PlayStation 5s either. If you get the option, play it on console. And if you have the option of console, play it on PlayStation 5. Do not buy it on PC as it stands. Just avoid it like the plague, because it will ruin your experience.
Hopefully.
Hand on heart, I would not, as a Souls fan, I would not recommend it.
Hopefully, 6 months on the line, they'll have got it fixed, and it'll be playable again, and perhaps revisitable.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to throw out there as well, for anyone that says, oh, it's not that bad, I have now watched 3 people do the intro on PC, and they all have the exact same issues as I do, and we're all running different hardware. I've seen Intel Nvidia fail. I've seen AMD fail. I've seen of all different levels, every single one of them chugs at about the same points. Every single one.
Which again means it's a programming issue rather than a rather than random something issue, because it's all the same point. So it's going to be something like memory leak, I'd imagine. Somebody's drawing all that processing power for no good reason.
I don't even think it's using it all. I don't even think it's utilizing it all. Like, legit, I really don't think it is. I will run some benches later.
It's probably this. It's almost like the old. Do you remember the old Skyrim debacle, the 4 gigs of RAM? Where it's like this, it just wouldn't use more than 4 gigs, and so they patched it so it could.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like that Neptunia issue I had there, like last month or whatever. When all in a modern, a game on a modern platform, it was only using 2 gigs and couldn't go any higher.
Yeah.
Even though the game used more than 2 gigs in certain sections by default.
It
boggles my mind, RAM. So, yeah, just don't buy it. Like, if you're going to get it on PC, you can already get it on sale, by the way. You can already get it on sale.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to go to other places like CD Keys and Kingwin and all that, and like Fanatical, and some of these are legit websites. Some of them are already offering it like 20% off. Yeah,
CD Keys is my usual go-to one when I want to get stuff. I always usually when they do a good deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're selling it upwards of 20-30% off.
Oh, there you go.
Depending on region. But the game is actually quite expensive. Anywhere between like, £50 and £70. I would be interested, Ram, if you did try it at some point.
Yeah, maybe in a sale.
Plus, I'd love to see you play a Soul games. I'd love to see you play a Souls game.
I feel I've got some of the Souls games. You know, let me have a look and see. I feel I've picked them up. I've got Dark Souls 2 and Dark Souls 3.
All right, you really need to start. You need to build on that collection and get Dark Souls Remastered if you can get that from a place like Allkey Shop or Kingwin or something like that.
Yeah.
Let's get Ram in there. Let's see him chugging on them Estus flasks.
Perhaps I'll play one. If I had to pick, which one do you suggest play out of two? Number two or number three?
I prefer two.
I'll play two.
Steamroll number two. I run around as my character class of choice is the Deprived, which basically means I run around with a club and my underpants. I think actually Deprived in number two just starts with bare knuckles. And if you do the tutorial zone, I think, which you can actually miss, you can get a knife. In most of the other Souls games, like 3 and Elden Ring, you start with a club and your underpants. But I think in Elden Ring, I'm called a wretch. So I've started with no armor and a club, and it's beautiful. I was so excited, and then the frame rate tanked, and I got angry.
Yeah.
And from what I can tell, what's the guy whose name who does Game of Thrones? George R. Martin. Yeah. From what I can tell, the writing hasn't changed at all. What the fuck did you do, dude?
Yeah, let's be honest. It takes him like 10 years to write one book, so he probably produced a page worth of stuff for him.
Well, that's all. Because so far, it is literally, honestly, just Souls. But it's like if it wasn't by From Software, this would just be a plagiarist's game. Because all they've gone and done is like just change some names. Like honestly, Estus Flask. It's not an Estus Flask now. It's this other thing, or it's not a bonfire. It's another thing. You know, it's the exact same mechanics.
Yeah,
just with different names.
But like Ubisoft do, Ubisoft basically make one type of game these days, but lots of different wrappers around it.
Yeah.
Also,
anyway, what have you been playing, man?
Well, I've been playing, talking about you saying boggling your mind a little while ago, I play a game that does boggle the mind, called Superliminal. It's a puzzle game. Mm-hmm. It's the sort of like backstory is you have gone to like a sleep therapy place, and they've basically got this way of allowing you sort of like explore sort of alternative things in your dreams as part of therapy. And you're basically you are the whole game, you are asleep and you're playing in your mind.
Okay.
And you basically move around these sort of like fairly colourful, fairly simple layout levels. There's 8 sort of chapters to the game. But the whole sort of like its shtick is all around manipulating perspectives. So, and this actually applies to items you pick up. So, you know a thing where this is going to be quite hard to explain. If I get this can of Coke in my hand now and hold it in front of me, it's quite small. If I turn around, look to my left, compared to, say, my window, it's huge.
Yeah.
If you pick up an object in front of you in the game, then you turn, look at the window, and then let go of it, it rescales that size.
Okay.
So you can use this to do things like, say, you want to, you've got like a tall ledge you can't get up, but you've got like a small dice on the ground. You can put the dice up on the ground, sort of look in the distance to where you want it to be, and drop it.
Now and it scales to fit that gap.
So that is sort of its shtick, and it's all about having to use a perspective to navigate through the levels. It's other sort of clown is where you'll have to there'll be like sort of like. Again, it's such a hard thing to describe without actually an example, but imagine, like, you know those perspective, like, sort of tricks where, like, someone, like, paints, like, a door on the floor and it's all bent, but you can get it from the right angle, it looks like a real door?
Yeah.
It does that.
Then it becomes a real door.
Yeah.
Now, a game that actually does that as well is Senua's Sacrifice. So in Senua's Sacrifice, there might be, say, a bridge that's been smashed. And the debris might be kind of hovering in the air, or there might be like some weird looking glowy shards, like broken glass. And if you can look at those at the right angle, it actually then looks like the reflections through these like shards make it look like the thing that was broken is in one piece again, and then it will rebuild the thing that was broken.
Yeah. So the whole game is based on these two sort of mechanics. It does a good thing actually in puzzle games. A lot of puzzle games, some of those they'll have an idea of mechanic and they don't really explore it. This game does try and explore, well, what can we do this? How can we sort of like twist this mechanic so that it sort of like makes it more twist? So one thing you've come across about halfway through is you'll have like a small bouncy castle. And there'll be and you can see it's like there's like you can basically scale up to like really big, but then there'll be a door on it, and you can then walk through the door, and you're then like into a nub. Then you might find yourself on like the top of the bouncy castle itself, and you can sort of like move around, or like and doing so sort of scale yourself, so you can like if you need to be smaller to get through a gap, you can sort of like reduce it down, and sort of scale yourself by going through it. I did manage to, because I was trying to work out to get out on the levels. I thought I was sort of wandering around. There's like a I could see this gap underneath a door, and I had like sort of like, so I was like in a room, and there was like this building on like a little model, like a little small model, and then to my right there's like a doorway, and if I walked out the doorway, I was on the model. So I'd go back to the room, pick up the model, and basically make it big. Then I could walk through the doorway. Then by walking out the model, I could basically scale myself down. So I basically did that. So basically what I did was I walked through the model when it was small, walked through my doorway, came out of a scale down, tried to get through the little gap underneath the door, couldn't. So I walked through my doorway again. So I sort of scaled myself down twice and then tried to get in this gap. Now, it took me about 40 minutes to walk to the door because I was so, because it scales your speed down as well. So I eventually got there and I walked out. And I realized I just clipped out the level instead. That wasn't what I was meant to do at all. but it looked like that was the thing I was meant to do. So that's what I did. The sort of point of the game is all about sort of like, say, the sort of like narration behind it, sort of story behind it is you start off with sort of like fairly straightforward, and then this guy is talking to you who I cannot remember the name. It's got all the names, I cannot remember the name of any. I think his name's like someone like, is it Gideon Pierce, I think his name is? I have no idea. Which is weird because he starts every like bit dialogue, he starts saying, "Hello, my name is so and so."
Yeah.
And to be honest, I find it quite annoying after a while because he talks so slowly, like a really annoying therapist. And he quite early on, says, "Yes, we appear to have lost you. You're somewhere in there. We're not sure how to get you out. But don't worry, we'll figure it out." So you sort of like, get trapped in your dream and sort of like, work your way through the little level scout. Like I say, Triss mechanics, there'll be levels where like, you can clone things and make multiple copies of it. And if you make a lot of copies of it, the game basically doesn't like you and tells you off because you're spoiling too many things. There's levels where like, there's like a horror level in it as well. It's really bizarre. Triss is like sort of, and some of the puzzles are very much takes you a long time to twig what's happening. Mm-hmm. There are certain puzzles that I had to know, I don't know what's going on this, and I never had to look it up on a wiki or walkthrough. It's like, what is going on? And once someone says to you what it is, it's obvious. It's like, oh yeah, I saw that, makes all sense. Yeah, I get that now, I get it now. And there's a clue there as well, which I just didn't interpret properly because I'm fairly literal minded. So mm-hmm. I sort of see the clue and go, and it's like the clue sort of like says, it's all a matter of solid, or it's all a matter of perspective. And it's like, yeah, I don't get that. So I don't want to go on, we've got to do here. I did spend quite a long time where there's like this room where there's like an exit sign and it's pointing one way or the other. And when you get there, there's like a doorway. And if you go, if someone's going through the doorway, it worked. I got a little positive ding. Someone didn't. And for the longest time, I was, because this exit sign is flickering, I was convinced when I walked through the doorway, when it was not like unlit, it was fine. But when it was lit, it wouldn't let me through. So I sat there for ages watching the time and the light flickering. So I could try and get through. Then realized, no, that's not how it works. And when I looked up online how it works, I thought, oh, that's really simple. I'm really stupid. I'm just testing.
Right.
There's something like there's something like a puzzle game to make you feel really stupid. I think there is what its downside is. I do find there's a lot of levels you are pixel hunting for the thing you can use. There's a couple where I was hunting around levels ages because there's lots of little art because you sort of look at everything because sometimes you can it's not consistent what you can pick up. So things like you know. A block chess piece, for example, you can pick up and use time and time again. Sometimes you can pick up like lights, sometimes you can pick up doors, but they're not consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And a few times I found myself wandering around a level looking and just literally looking at every little thing, trying to find the one thing I can manipulate and use. And it becomes a bit of pixel hunting. That's where it becomes a little bit annoying. And then again, you sort of, and it's, it teaches you quite early on how you forget actually how sort of far away you can manipulate stuff because you can actually manipulate stuff quite far away from you, and I did forget that because it sort of plays over a gap. And I actually started this game last year.
Oh.
Yeah, so I saw like, about three quarters way through it and then it sort of stopped and then I finished off this week. So I sort of forgot a few of the rules, as it were. And I was like, I just can't see what I'm meant to interact with. And I sort of, and looked up, so oh, can I even reach that? And oh, yes, I have like virtually unlimited range on my picking up thing, so yeah, I could pick that up. But it's got lots of clever things about it. It's got lots of little clever bits about it, and it does sort of like twist the formula in clever ways. I don't like the pixel hunting aspect of it. Overall, I find its message is rather ironic. The sort of message it gives you at the end, and this isn't really a spoiler, it's basically look. The whole game is about, if you have a problem, look at it from all perspectives to try and figure out how to get through it. The message is kind of backtracked, because again, the game's all about perspective. The message there is kind of burnt by the fact that when you're playing it, there's only one way to do every single problem. I get the idea of Swiss game thing, but there's only one way to get through this level, and that's kind of sort of, you've kind of mixed your messages there. But, overall, I did enjoy it. I wouldn't say I would say it hasn't quite got the goodness of say like the Portal puzzlers. I think Portal's sort of the standard now for first person puzzlers. It hasn't quite got that sort of level. Sort of like there has to be a bit fairly on where you have to sort of like I think Portal's good at I know what I need to do. Fairly on you go I know roughly what I need to do. To get through this, I just need to figure out how to then do it. This is like, I have no idea what I need to do, and I need to spend ages trying to work out what I actually need to do before I can do anything. But I did enjoy it, even if I did resort to a wiki a couple of times to get through it. The whole backstory stuff, it's fairly unnecessary. It could have just been a little, hey, it's just a puzzle game, enjoy it, and it would have still worked. the main guy, two voice actors in it, and that's this doctor guy and the sort of like computer that's running the simulation. And the doctor guy's voice really irritated me towards the end. But overall, a good game.
Oh, okay. Fair that.
So, yeah.
Fair that.
Yeah. So, okay. Anything else from you, Skaz?
Other than, oddly enough, over the last couple of days, I've become really psyched for the Steam Deck.
Awesome. Because is it end of March is game released?
So I know a few people that have got it now, but I think most people who put in early pre-orders are getting at Q2, which is what, and
let me have a
when's Q2 actually start, like end of March, early April?
Let me have a look for you.
I always thought it was around April time.
So you could go and I'll find out for you.
So we all know that the Steam Deck isn't going to be hugely powerful. It's basically Valve's portable gaming PC with the ability to eventually, when they release the dock, dock it and, you know, play games on a telly. Which, why you do that as a PC gamer, I don't know. You most likely already have a gaming PC. But this is kind of an interesting way to take your games on the go without having to have a gaming laptop. So they kind of taken what they did with the Steam controller and Steam OS. So they're basing the Steam Deck on Linux. So Linux, low power Linux PC with all of the best features of the Steam pad. So the touch pads are there. You've got dual analog sticks now, low res screen, because obviously it's not very powerful. I mean, if you're not driving high res, you actually don't need a huge amount of power, which is how the Steam Deck is able to play a lot of these kind of newer AAA games. I mean, apparently it's running, is it Control, the Remedy game, the Concrete game I was playing a while back? Mm. That will play on the Steam Deck at like 30 to 60 FPS.
Which I know you were doubtful at the time about when we first discussed.
Yeah, I did not believe it. I didn't believe it could do it. I was like, how is that even a thing? Like, even if you turn the res down that far, how is that a thing? Because some of my friends and I do occasionally dick around in budget PC gaming and just sometimes you hit a wall. But apparently the Steam Deck is actually really quite this that good. It can do it. They've said. Again, I mentioned them in the Elden Ring thing. Digital Foundry have gone out there and said that it's basically a portable PlayStation 4.
Mm.
Or it's getting that way. Whereas, I mean, admittedly, the PlayStation 4 would play some games at 1080p. The Steam Deck is getting the same kind of performance, the same kind of graphics, but at a slightly lower resolution. That's fantastic. They're saying that if you were to look at desktop graphics cards, and you know my Steam machine is an Intel Core i5 2400 with what used to have a 1050 Ti in it, a low-profile 1050 Ti, so proper low power for 1080p Linux gaming. Well, the Steam Deck is the equivalent to that, but at 720 and 800p. So, you know, I know it's not quite a fair comparison.
So I've just looked at the release date. If you were to reserve it now, they're predicting after Q2, mm-hmm. Which is someone has put very helpfully on Reddit afterwards, after July 1st, 2022, and between July 1st, 2022, and the inevitable heat death of the universe.
Yeah, Valve time, mate. Yeah, Valve time.
Valve time. So yeah, if you order it now, you're not looking till July.
Which isn't bad. I mean, I already pre-ordered one, but I didn't think I'd be able to afford it. But I think the pre-order was only like £5.
Yeah.
Like, you had to put £5 down.
Of what I was reading, that they open up the sort of, like, if you pre-order it, you've got, and then they open up orders on the 25th, which is obviously, yes, so you've got like 3 days to decide to go for, apparently.
Okay, well, I mean, I haven't had an email to say that I can put my order in.
Oh, right.
Mine says Q2.
All right, well,
and I assumed that was like end of March, early April.
Yeah, well, it says it's now saying after Q2. Well, let's see. Who knows? Valve time. No one understands the mystery of Valve time.
Yeah. I mean, because from what I understand, they're supposed to be sending emails out.
Yes.
To people. Because if I go to Steam, the only option I get is to cancel my pre-order. So I don't get the option to pay or anything. And I haven't had an email to say if I want to buy it either. And I've checked my spam filter. There's nothing gone through the yet. And the only people I know that have actually got the Steam Deck in their hands are people who have had them shipped directly from Valve for purposes of reviews and testing.
Yeah.
But it seems like a plenty capable device as it stands at low resolutions, but it is a low-res device. And SteamOS, the Linux-based operating system they're rocking out on, it's looking really good. Mm. You know, resolution scaling is built into the operating system now. They've got hard frame rate caps built into the operating system now. So they're really going for a consoleized experience. You know, more advanced than a console, mind you, because, you know, a console ain't going to say to you, hey, mate, do you want to turn your fucking texture quality up or down or whatever? There's still a bit of fiddling to do. There doesn't seem to be any kind of optimized profiles for a lot of these games, but they are comfortably playing in a lot of cases. There are a few games that do chug, but this is a 15-watt device.
Yeah.
Playing modern AAA games. Yes, 800p. Yes, in some cases, 30 frames a second. But fuck, mate, I'll take it if I can just throw it in my bag.
And let's be honest, 800p on a small screen.
Yeah.
It's not really a big deal because it's small. Get away with low resolutions on a small screen.
Well, I mean, look at the Nintendo Switch. I mean, Doom 2016. I own Doom 2016 on like every platform. The platform I beat it on first was Nintendo Switch.
What resolution is the Switch then? Just out of curiosity.
So the Switch will run games at 720p and 1080. In portable mode, it runs games at 720p. But Doom went as low as like, it went lower than 720p at times. Like resolution scaling, it went, the internal render resolution was lower than 720p. For me, it was fine, because when you're in the heat of battle, as long as that frame rate was solid, and there were only a few times it proper hung, that was fucking well playable. You didn't even pay attention to the texture quality or the resolution, because you are running around shooting things in the fucking face, mate. Mm. And so this is basically your entire Steam library, but on a Switch-style device. Admittedly, it is a fair bit bigger, but for someone like me, bigger means more comfortable, because I can't use the Switch in handheld mode at all. I think the Steam Deck is going to be, this is going to be a big device. I mean, this is going to be a gateway drug into PC gaming for a lot of people too, I think.
Yeah.
Like, for example, like Middlemeister, you could hand one to Middlemeister and say, here's your Steam account, fucking have at it. And he could dick around and play all these PC games and eventually, you know, go, oh, well, I think I might want to build a gaming PC or, you know, build myself a Steam machine and, you know, he gets all the freedom there too. Fantastic device. I mean, if my children didn't already have gaming laptops, a Steam Deck would be great.
Yeah. I think. I've not looked a lot up about the Steam Deck, so I'm now talking for this. Is it like the Switch that you can like dock it to your TV and stuff and it'll play for
you? Yes. Valve haven't got the dock ready yet, but it is USB-C. So any USB-C dock with power delivery, which you can buy off like Amazon for like 30 quid or something. Like them knockoff Nintendo Switch docks will work. Just plug it into the fucking, I mean, you could probably, if you wanted to, hack up the Nintendo Switch dock and plug it into that.
Yeah.
And it would function. Yeah, you could just plug it into the telly and it'll work. Obviously, it's going to struggle to play at higher resolution, so you might hook up to a 1080p display and it's only running at 800p still, like scaled up. But
doesn't it do streaming though, the Steam Deck as well?
Yes, it will do the Steam Link.
Yeah.
You can do that. So if you've got a gaming PC in your house, you can stream the high quality game directly to your Steam Deck.
So you see, this is where I would possibly be tempted with a Steam Deck, is not so much have the deck playing the game itself, but streaming from my PC and then be able to walk up to my TV, plug it into the dock, and then basically, because I've used Steam Link successfully quite a fair bit, actually. When I've had like sort of like family members because they don't have a PC, I was like, you want to play this game, you quite like it. It doesn't come out on consoles, it doesn't exist, but you'd like it, so let's go play it on Steam Link. And they've been able to play the game and enjoy it and have fun with it and so forth. So that's all the temptation to me. It's like, oh well, if I had something that could like just like, yeah, because it's a handheld game, but I could just come plonk in and then play on my big screen TV from the comfort of my living room. Mm-hmm. And my machine's doing all the hard work. That sounds awesome. Mm-hmm.
It does make me wonder if they're going to revise the Steam Pad, though.
Mm.
Like as an optional accessory, you know, for when you have it docked, do you buy a Steam controller to go with it?
Well, good luck buying a Steam controller now. They'd have to release it, wouldn't they?
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. Like if they release a V2 of it.
The Pro Steam Deck controller.
Because you've got to think the Steam Pad only had one analog stick. The Steam Deck is just a fucking advanced Steam Pad attached to a PC.
Yeah.
I mean, to say it's just is a bit, that's harsh. But the controls are all of the things that people are going to be like, oh yeah, mate, look at the touch pads to do mouse emulation and blah, 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 blah. That's stuff that I mean, I've got a Steam Pad behind me because I've got a Steam machine plugged into my TV right the fucking now. Mm. And the, when Digital Foundry benched the Steam Deck to next to Windows graphics cards, the desktop graphics card they benched it next to was a 1050 Ti that used to be in my Steam machine. So realistically, I'm like, well, I've already got a Steam Deck effectively hooked up to my telly. I already have a Steam Pad here. I have all of the experiences. I just don't have that fancy user interface. Mm. I really want that Steam OS interface. I want it. Yeah. I want them to release the new version so I can install it on my Steam machine and continue to use my Steam machine.
Yeah.
Because I think the Steam OS is a good little box. And even that can do the, do you want to stream off of your big PC or whatever? It's fucking good. It's good stuff.
Mm.
But then I think it would be weird for you though to dock it to your telly, the Steam Deck, without there being a control pad sold for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can't. It's not like you can Nintendo Switch it and take the grips off of it or whatever. Because they're hard attached.
Yeah.
I will say as a bad note for it, playing big boy games a la Doom Eternal or whatever, you're probably only get about 2 hours of battery life out of it. But that is 2 hours playing a PC game.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't like
what would be the equivalent, like, again, Switch is its nearest sort of like equivalent. So what would you, what
between sort of, 2 and 4 hours?
So again, playing sort of like Doom, you get 2 to 4 hours.
Roughly. I mean, like, Zelda's a pretty hardcore one, but I mean, I haven't played Zelda in handheld mode. I can't personally play the Switch that long in handheld mode because it's so small, it cramps my hands. Mm. I mean, my fingers, if I hold the Switch in my hand, I can practically tip my finger. If I were to stretch my fingers out at the back of the Switch, I can touch my fingers together. Mm. It's the Switch is rinky-dink tiny in my hands. It's really, really uncomfortable to play. So something kind of beefier with the Steam Deck would be much nicer for me. But I don't think it's much more than 2, 3, 4 hours-ish. I know you're not getting huge gaming sessions out of it playing stuff like Zelda. That's why people used to go for like flights. They'd carry an external battery for it. I mean, you could do that with a Steam Deck, just carry around a, you know, one of them battery banks that people use for their phones.
Yeah,
hook it up, because the Steam Deck is only using like what, 15 watts maximum, of about 30 maximum 30. So, and the performance at 30 watts is fucking impressive, in my opinion.
Mm. Agrees. If it does so, and I mean, obviously now it's in the hands of people, so we know what the claims are accurate, because now it's in the hands of people who are playing it and using it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was a bit like, I'm not sure why I'd have one when I first saw it. I am tempted. It's at the moment though. It's a bit too rich for me at the moment. Might be something in the future. I've got some big expenses coming up in the future, so I need to be a bit cautious. But maybe end of the year, I might have some money floating around that I can do stuff and pick it up. But it looks cool. Imagine And this would be the this is probably not possible. Imagine if they could link the Steam Deck to something like VR to your Valve head, your Index.
That would be interesting. A lot of people, they did theorize that that might be a thing. I was like, there's no way that hardware could drive a VR headset. No fucking way. Not the resolutions required for VR. I mean, in VR, I've chugged a 3080. There's no way the Steam Deck's running a VR headset.
The only way
I can
see it doing it is it taking the place of like a Steam controller, and your PC does the, and you're doing your wireless stream for your PC, but the Steam Deck just acts as a controller.
Potentially.
That's the only way I could see it working like that, but that would be cool.
You know, hook your Index into your Steam Deck. Your Steam Deck sucks the VR game from your PC.
Yeah. PC does the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
So.
But, you know, that could be a thing.
Could well be, yeah.
It could be a thing. I mean, although I will say that of all of the things that it says aren't supported in my library, that's all the VR games.
Well, yeah.
but I do have a request for people, okay? Like, just please, I'm begging you, don't do what people did when the Steam machines came out, the actual Steam machines, where people bought them, like, mate, fucking Linux, what the fuck's a Linux? I can't play my games on Linux. Fuck that. This is before Proton came out, obviously. Can't play my games on Linux. Oh, fucking, just going to install Windows on it. Then it's not a Steam machine anymore, you fucking twat. If you take SteamOS off it, it's just a shitty Windows PC.
Yeah, exactly.
And I do literally mean a shitty Windows PC.
It's not a Steam machine, it's a PC. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you discovered PC gaming. Well done.
Good job. Look, you've got a high-end gaming PC right there. For some reason, your brain didn't twig that if you installed Windows on a, and let's be fair, the Steam machines were low-end machines. They're effectively laptop hardware in these like sleek, pretty custom cases kind of thing with the Steam logo on them, right? Yeah. Oh, mate, I'll put Windows on there. Oh, it's like £900 or something. It plays like shit. Well, of course it fucking would, you bellend. The hardware was nowhere near.
Yeah.
Capable of doing what you thought it would do, even if you put Windows on it.
You've gone from a bespoke, optimized operating system designed to play games to a generic operating system.
Mm-hmm. Just please with the Steam Deck, just don't. Use it with SteamOS. I know the drivers aren't even out to put Windows on it, but please don't. Just don't. If you're going to buy the Steam Deck, use it as it is. It's like me saying, oh, mate, I'm going to fucking put Windows on my Nintendo Switch. Don't be a twat. Just take the Steam Deck, lap up the fucking custom OS that Valve has spun for it, play with the UI, break it, fiddle with it, and just fucking enjoy it.
Mm.
And I really can't wait for them to release the OS. I really want them to release that OS so I can update my Steam machine.
I would imagine they must release it fairly soon, because if they've already started getting decks out to people, they're going to release it pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, so. I mean, they've basically just told people to, I think, if you're doing dev work on it, they've already got a dev box out there. It's not something they made. It's like a generic off-the-shelf, like, NUC-style PC, like the little tiny, small form factor PCs. But I think one of those costs like £800, so even more than the Steam Deck. And they're recommending, I believe, and I could be completely wrong here, as I often am, I believe they're recommending Manjaro Linux for testing your shit on Steam Deck. Because Manjaro Linux is Arch-based. The new Steam OS is Arch-based, where it used to be Debian-based. So for my Steam machine, I'd have to completely wipe it and start from scratch. But yeah, Arch-based, and I think Manjaro just gives you, when you install Manjaro, it asks you, like, hey, here's some popular apps. Do you want to install these? And one of them's Steam, so it'll just automatically pull Steam down and do that. So you could just, I guess you could literally just say, when my machine automatically logs in, launch Steam in big picture, bam, Steam machine.
Mm. Cool.
Please release the Steam OS operating system in the new one, please. So I want to play that. I want to play with that UI, because that UI is not going to be there if you just spin up Arch. Please. I'm psyched. I look really.
I can tell.
I just want to get my Steam machine back up and running again, like properly. I want to try the new user interface, mate. Seriously, fucking, you can't see this, but on the live feed, there you go. There's my Steam Pad. It was right behind me this entire time. You know, there's two dongles. There's one in the back of my control pad, and there's one hooked up behind my TV set. It's ready to go. Come on, Valve. Give me the operating system. Give me the distro.
Yeah. Give it to me, Valve. Give it to me. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I am the whore for your operating system.
Give it to me, Valve Daddy. Give it to me. I've been such a good boy, Valve Daddy.
Hey, mate, I give Valve enough money as is. Fucking, when Steam Deck comes out, or when the offer comes in, I'm going to be scrimping and saving every penny I get. Hopefully I'll be able to put in for my pre-order. If not, then I'll just burn it and wait until Christmas. And then I'll just try and get hold of the operating system or spin up my own custom and just start playing on my Steam machine by the TV. But the power is roughly equivalent to what I already have. The one I already have used to be able to play games at 1080p at decent settings. Way too long on the tooth for that now. So I'll be running at Steam Deck kind of resolutions. Fantastic.
Awesome.
SteamOS. Yeah.
SteamOS. Yeah.
And then Ram's going to get a Valve Index, and, you know.
I would love a Valve Index.
I would love a Valve Index, but I would be terrified to be able to use it. I don't think I'd be able to use it.
No, was that... I mean, your machine would be powerful enough to use it, or was it more like space?
Well, the machine would be powerful enough. My problem with the... So my two issues with the Valve Index. One, base station tracking, because I have the HTC Vive, don't I?
Yeah.
And I can't use my Vive base stations for that, because they're like... way out there kind of thing. Like they're too big. They take up too much space. To put them on stands and stuff, they take up too much space. But the other issue is that the Valve Index has a very, very, very small sweet spot on the lenses. So for anyone that doesn't know what the sweet spot of a VR headset's lens is, just pretend it's a circle and draw a line from top to bottom and from left to right, and where the cross is, the center point, take a smaller circle and like draw it like maybe a centimeter or two from that point. So you've got a circle going from the center point of that lens. Yeah. That's your sweet spot of what's in focus. If you move your eyes around out of that center point, things start to kind of drift out of focus. The Valve Index has an incredibly, incredibly small sweet spot for focus. And I have an HTC Cosmos here, which has a sweet spot that is comparable to the Index, and that's a fucking nightmare. Mm. It's an absolute nightmare.
Wow. Wonder. What
just for me, I'd be terrified to drop £1,000 on a headset only to find that I can't get it to look as good as it can
be. You want to try it first, really.
Yeah, but that's... Gavin, mate, come on. Do me a favour, mate. Do me a solid. Just, you know, get in the old fucking private jet. There's a runway just down the road from my house. All right, bring me down a Steam Deck. Bring me down an Index. And we'll talk.
I think Gabe would be a bit more such about it. One day you'll just be walking out with Charlie and there'll be just like a black helicopter appear, and this like special forces guy with a Valve uniform on will rappel out, grab you and Charlie, drag you into the helicopter, and you'll just disappear for a day or two. You'll come back.
Fucking dude in a gas mask like from CSGO.
Yeah. Oh, I've said a thought. Stalker 2. That's been made by, I think, some Russian devs.
Well, yeah, because... what's it called? The original Stalker, that was done by...
GSC Game World. Where is GSC Game World based?
Ukraine.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
You know, the guys who did Metro.
They've moved out.
No, but they're half and half.
Well, they're mostly moved out of Ukraine now. They're based in, where are they based now?
Barcelona, isn't it?
Might be, yeah. They last time there was a bit of a scare, they moved.
Yeah, I don't remember them moving the entire team.
A large chunk of it has moved out. I don't think everybody's moved, but a good chunk of it has. So
yeah, but still, my point still stands that they're still in the Ukraine. Right, I don't think they're completely
now
out.
Now it's personal, Russia. You may delay. you may delay Stalker 2. we're having words, Russia.
How dare you?
Well, anyways, Ukraine Stalker 2, their GCK word urges fans to support defenders amid Russian invasion. These are the serious issues they're not talking about on the BBC.
Yeah, game delays.
Yeah.
Well, some of the hardware that I use is devved in Ukraine.
Mm.
You know the flash cartridges and that I use for some of my retro consoles? Devved and manufactured in the Ukraine by one bloke. Currently getting bombed the shit out of.
Oh, bless him.
So fucking, like, this is what I'm saying though, it's complete fucking tat. There's some fucking, it's true of everywhere in the world. There are amazing people everywhere. There is no need for this shit in this day and age.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Malta, they're now based in.
Oh, it's Malta, okay. For some reason, I thought fucking Barcelona. What the fuck am I on about?
Barcelona. Do.
I don't even know where I got that from. I was like, yeah, I'm sure they're in somewhere warm.
Somewhere warm. That must be a shock when they move. It's like, we're going from Ukraine to Malta.
So what do you mean I don't have to fucking, like, I don't have to freeze to death every morning?
No. Fucking Russians delay metro. Whatever the
metro.
Well, I'm sure there's another metro game in the pipeline. Delaying that. Maybe. And Stalker. Bastards.
I actually, that's what I throw out there. I really wanted to play through Exodus.
If you're going to play it, Metro, play the. If you're going to play it, because you said about,
Redux.
Yeah, don't play the original ones anymore. Redux is fixed.
I was going to say, I've got the originals. I've got the Redux ones as well.
So I played through. The original Metro 2033, the original version of it.
I don't know why I got it into my head that the Metro book was named something other than Metro, but it wasn't, was it?
No, it was Metro. It was Metro 2033.
I can't think of what it was I was thinking of at the time to get that confused, but yeah.
So yeah, if you weren't thinking of Stalker, Stalker's based on the book called, Roadside Picnic.
That might have been Stalker,
yeah, because that was, I mean, it's loosely based on Roadside Picnic, but the general idea is the same. Most of it is about aliens landing on Earth. When they leave, the area they leave is like this strange area called the Zone, and so they put an exclusion zone up around it, and it has anomalies and so forth. Stalker basically took the idea, but it's based around Chernobyl.
Yeah.
So
that might have been it then. I might have got the wrong Ukrainian series.
The wrong bleak futuristic Ukrainian series. So because Metro is a weird one, because Metro 2033 was based on the book Metro 2033, then they made Metro Last Light, and then the guy who wrote Metro 2033 then wrote a book based on Metro Last Light.
Something like that.
Yeah,
something
so
like
bizarre
that.
Back and forth between writing and developing it.
Yeah, he still works with them, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He still works with them, because I think he still had a lot of input on Exodus and all that. My main beef with the original Metro, because Metro at the time, that was like the new Crisis, wasn't it, back in the day? It was a fucking hell of a game to run when it came out. And it looked, in my opinion, really good.
It did.
Back in the day.
When you went up on the surface, it looked really good.
Fucking that stealth annoyed the shit out of me, though. Every single time I try and play Metro and I get to one of those stealth sections where I step on a tiny fragment of glass.
I quite like
that. And all of a sudden the whole building's on alert from 5 miles. Hell.
I quite like the stealth in Metro. I didn't remember.
It's a nightmare.
I kind of liked it.
Did you go for the good ending? Because there's two endings, isn't there, in Metro?
The ending is... So,
it's a karma system, isn't
it? Yeah, it's based on what you do throughout the game, and it's a bit bullshit. So, particularly Metro...
I know that the triggers for it are stupid. Yeah. Like, some of them are really bad.
And you don't realise they're triggers until you hear, like, there's, like, a little sound cue at the end to tell you that this trigger's been reached.
Yeah, it's like certain people you talk to, characters you rescue, playing the guitar, I think, was one of them.
It's a lot of random stuff. So it's a little bit if I'm honest with you, that it's a little bit bullshit for my liking.
But did you get the good ending, or did you just say, fuck it? And
I got the... Okay. I didn't even think about that sort of situation, because the way the game was, being so heavily narrative, to be honest, I was expecting it to come down to a route of you just pick it at the end. I didn't realize it was going to be like it was actually taking intention to what I was doing. So I got to the end, I ended up doing the bad thing.
What is the bad ending, just quickly?
So in the
spoiler alert for a game that came out a million years ago.
2013, 18 years ago. So you go to the end, so basically there's this weird race called, they call them the Dark Ones, I think they're called. And you go to the end, and basically you have the option of launching a nuke at where they live, and you basically decide whether you're going to launch it or not. And the dark endings, you launch it, and the non-dark endings, you don't launch it. But you, whatever
I thought
happens,
you launched it anyway, just that the guy...
The sequel game assumes you launched it.
Okay.
So the sequel is based on the bad ending of Metro 2033.
Okay.
And basically, so it's almost like a redemption.
Didn't they retcon it though
They may have changed it in the Redux version. Don't forget, I played the original Metro 2033 before the Redux, so I've not played the Redux version. I just know that the Redux version is the better one to play, because all systems they fixed in Last Light, they just moved over to the Redux version.
Yeah, well, from what I understand, like, so what the fuck's the main character's name? Artyom?
Artyom, yeah.
He mentions in like Last Light, doesn't he, or something, that he let the Dark Ones into the Metro by accident as a child or something to that effect.
Yes, yeah.
But in Redux, I believe, because he chats between loading screens, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I think it's in Redux. He starts going off on this spiel, because that was the one that was on Linux, so I played part of Redux on Linux. Mm. On my Steam machine. He goes, I had no memory of my time before, like, bad shit happened and we all moved down to the Metro. So, but then in the next game, you talk about having memories of your childhood
he remembers, he doesn't remember like before the Metro, but he does remember at some point, it wasn't like he suddenly appeared in the Metro at age 18. I think he was like a child. He had some childhood in the Metro. He just remember before the Metro.
But they show him like going up the escalators and stuff before they lived in the Metro.
It's been a while since I played.
Well, I'm going to force myself to play through them. Now that I have a machine that doesn't catch fire when I play games, touch wood. I'll have to have a look. But I've been wanting to force my way through, because I saw some screen. Do you want to know what actually pushed me through?
Go on.
Saw some screenshots of Exodus. Like PC with all the pretties turned on. Fuck me, that game looks gorgeous.
Is it? Yeah.
And considering they hand build everything, the guys behind, like, they're not like Ubisoft where they're like, you know, they, oh, here's a fucking base, and then they cookie cutter around the map. The guys behind, you know, the Metro series, they proper put in the fucking work.
Yeah.
I feel like it deserves to be played. Like, it's one of those games you almost as like a, you know, a salute to them to say, like, you fucking did this, like, wow. And especially considering the shit they went through as a studio.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, because they were a budget studio.
They were. They were founded by three ex GSC Game World who made Stalker. Three ex-devs founded 4A Games to make Metro. And they did a great job.
They pushed graphics technology. They pushed hardware. They really did.
Yeah. Ukrainian sort of like... I would always say that actually, sort of like... I really loved a lot of games that came from sort of like Ukrainian area and so forth, because they were still somewhat old school in a lot of ways. Yeah. It did things. The way they sort of like made their games, they felt like a more old school PC games. Still, I mean, Metro's a fairly unfair game with how it plays.
That's terrible. That stealth is fucking broken.
It's not. I love the stuff in Metro. I find it great.
It's
fun.
Awful.
It's fine.
It's fucking.
You've got to be careful.
There's no fucking way that they strategically placed all that broken glass.
I would.
And that if I lightly stand on a piece of glass that a guy from three floors up on the other side of the building can hear exactly where I am and put the whole building on alert.
It wasn't quite that bad.
It felt that bad.
It was not that bad.
The
stealth of that.
I've played some shitty stealth games. That was terrible.
The stealth Metro was unfair, but fine.
Fucking hell. You're a glutton for punishment.
I stealth through the stealth sections, no problem.
Have you finished them all, haven't you?
I've not played Exodus yet. I've done...
Have you?
No.
Why not?
I
would have assumed, because Tom fucking literally spunked his shorts over that one.
It's the weirdest thing, Sans. It's like, I want to play Exodus, but it's like I got put on the barrel and I've just never got around to playing it.
Do you own it?
Yeah, I've got Exodus. I think it was given away for free in Stadia at some point as well.
Oh, right.
I think there's a Stadia Pro game.
I might have to have a look.
I think so. I'm pretty sure it is. Let me look at the old Stadia. Actually, I'm not sure if I'm logged on in this web browser, but maybe. No, I'm not logged in this web browser, but I'm pretty sure it is. It was given away as a Stadia Pro game. Let's have a look.
Because I mean, I shat all over Exodus when it came out just because of how broken it was on consoles. It was effectively Elden Ring PC, but fucking. That style of shittiness on console, but
I really hate the Stadia interface.
Me too. But it works, so I can't complain. It's terrible, but it works.
Well,
it's just like Metro Stealth. It's terrible, but it's there.
Actually, it's fine. I'm sure I saw. Oh, where was it? Metro X, yes, on Stadia. It was a Stadia Pro game. So if you've got Stadia, if you've kept the Stadia Pro up, you should have Metro.
I've got it already. I've got both of them, the standard and the enhanced edition.
Your sword. So yeah. I love the Metro games. Metro captured the atmosphere of
just quickly, Ram, sorry. Has your family got a PS5?
No.
Oh, fuck, man, I was going to say, because it's on sale at the moment on the PSN for about £7.
Yeah, no, we couldn't stretch to a PS5, and they've still got a massive backlog of PS4 games they're playing through. So
again, as I say, if you wanted to play it, $7 on PSN. Mm. Or thereabouts.
There you go. I love Metro, because both Metro and Stalker had great atmosphere.
I love the world.
Yeah, and Metro captures the Stalker atmosphere, but a more linear... It's a very linear story-driven game. It's just perfectly linear. There's no more deviating from the path in the game, but it works really well. So Stalker has the same atmosphere because they caught it perfectly, but obviously it's more open world. I mean, Stalker is a great example of a really broken game that is still just good.
Yeah,
you know. I still call Pripyat still one of my favourite games of all time. It's still one of the most, it is one of the most broken games possible to ever be. Mm-hmm. I would still manage to rave and recommend it to people. And I'll say, yeah, it is janky, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Have you ever played any of the Stalker games?
I believe I've played Pripyat.
Yeah, that's the best one. Are you going to play
Was it?
So you got Stalker, you then had Stalker...
The first one had a dodgy subtitle, did it not?
Stalker, Shadow of Chernobyl. Stalker... I'll come with the name of the middle one. There was three. It was Stalker, Shadow of Chernobyl. Stalker... I'm going to have to look this up.
Stalker. I might have played them in the wrong order then. I remember them being a bit... I don't know. I know they're a bit wobbly. Yeah. But I don't remember a huge amount.
All right. So Stalker, Shadow Noble was the first one. That is okay, but it's very it's basically the way they had to strip a lot of stuff out to make it work.
Yeah, there's mods to put a lot of the stuff back though, isn't there?
There was
like fan made yeah, mods to put a lot of stuff that was in the original game spec.
Yeah, it's like drivable vehicles. Originally it's meant to be one massive open world area. So there's no like little like loading zones. They got rid of all that. They put loading zones in. Stalker Shadow Chernobyl. Then it was Stalker Clear Sky, which is the one in between, which definitely was very well received. That's actually set before Stalker Shadow Chernobyl. Mm-hmm. Then Stalker Call of Pripyat, which is basically the sequel to Shadow Chernobyl. That is one I play. That's the one I really. I still as my favorite games. One of my most favorite games of all time, as it were. That's what if someone said to me, buy a store game, that's what I'd tell them to buy. If they need to pick one. I mean, I think they're dirt cheap anyway now. Store Chernobyl definitely shows its age when you play it. It had a lot of problems they never really fixed. Unless you put, I mean, I play it now with fan mods added onto it to basically make it somewhat playable.
Yeah.
Because it was playable, but it had a lot of trouble. A lot of problems as you worked your way through it. But the fan mods fixed a lot of that. I mean, I did have to patch it. Fan mod got released fairly early on to patch the combat, because combat was, ironically, not deadly enough, which made it really hard, because every enemy was a bullet sponge.
Oh, okay.
So
I was going to say, but the other way around.
Yeah. Because so, everyone was a bullet sponge, you get the shots of them, it just took ages to wear them down. And because there's like four or five of them, they'd be wearing you down as well, but there's four or five of them. Whereas by making it more realistic, which felt better anyway, though a headshot was pretty much lethal, it meant that, and you make that usual like to plan and took your shots, it worked better and felt more in keeping with the sort of like atmosphere of the game. But yeah, some sort, if there was like because there was multiplayer elements added to Stalker, but they're all like deathmatch, that sort of thing. There was like a proper open world, you and a few mates, same sort of work up, and you know, oh shit, there's a blowout coming, we need to go all find cover somewhere, let's all find cover, take cover from it. Oh, traveling at night is, because traveling at night in Stalker is bloody deadly, because you can't see anything at all. I mean, you thought Green Hell was dark. Stalker is pitch black. You can't see anything. So it is actually, you're best off just to hold up somewhere for the night, which it feels great.
I think we've had that discussion before, actually, quite early on in the podcast.
Yeah. Early on day. So I won't rehash it all, but otherwise I'll be here all night. But yeah, it's
he likes it.
I love Stalker. It's one of those games I look back. There's also games that I've played that I couldn't tell you. There's hundreds of games I've played that I couldn't tell you I played them. If you ask me what games did you play that year, I was like, I don't know.
I'm the same most of the time. I have no fucking idea.
Yeah. First game? I think so. Oh, yeah, I did play. Oh, I've played it and completed it. Did I? Oh, well. Okay. That's awesome.
I've had that.
Yeah.
I should probably play this. Oh, wait, I already have.
I had that with films. I was going through my watch list on Amazon and Netflix. I was going through my watch list just to see what sort of films I watched last year, just out of curiosity. And I was like, I can't come across with thinking, I don't remember that film.
Yeah, we do that all the time.
So I go and watch the trailer and go, oh, I do remember that film now.
We've actually watched entire films through like two or three times because we've completely forgot that they even existed.
Yeah.
And that's not until we get to the end that we're like, oh, hang on, we have seen that before.
Yeah.
And why did we just waste our time watching it again? Because it was clearly too shit to remember. Because the trouble is, though, because games, as we said earlier, games are so copy-paste now.
Mm.
Like, you know, FromSoft games all feel like Dark Souls or Demon Souls, just with a little tweak here or there.
Yeah.
Ubisoft games all feel like fucking Far Cry and Assassin's Creed.
Mm.
You know, they're so samey. They just blend into one another. You just fucking don't care. You just don't remember them.
Yeah.
They're so forgettable.
Yeah.
I mean, if anyone can tell me fucking what 2/3 of the stories in COD are, you're lying. outside of like modern warfare.
Most I know about COD is there's a guy in it called Soap, and that's about as much as I know.
Mate, Soap McTavish is a beast.
And that is just like the, like, who came up with that name? That is literally...
Hey, you be nice to our fucking squeaky boy Soap, all right? He's a, like I said, he's a fucking beast. But then even those, like, I remember the story from the first one. I kind of remember the second one. Fuck knows what happens in the third one. I don't think it ends well. Mm. And Viktor Reznov from World at War.
Okay.
He's a random-ass Russian, because World at War was one of the World War II ones, wasn't it? Reznov is part of the Russian campaign.
Oh, I don't remember.
Fucking monster of a man. But his character bleeds into the Black Ops series.
Mm.
But like other stories, fucked if I know. Not a clue. You could say to me that fucking Battlefield is Call of Duty. I wouldn't argue with you. The stories are just shit. Mm. Run here, shoot that guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I've yeah. So many games.
You think you're gonna do a Metro Marathon?
No.
You're going to do it, Ram?
No, I ain't got time to do Metro Marathon.
Yes, you have. No. You're going to get some time. You're gonna fire up Exodus, and you're going to go, this game's amazing. I'm going to have to play back the other Metros.
I might fire up Exodus. The Metro is a funny series because I sort of got my way through it. I really enjoyed playing through it, but I wouldn't want to get... I kind of don't want to tarnish it by going back. I know it sounds weird. I kind of sort of like...
So how many times have you played them through?
Only once.
So I know you LP'd one of them.
Only once each.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, so did you play it through as you LP'd it?
Yeah.
Or? Really? Yeah. That was a live playthrough? I was under the impression you'd already beaten them before.
No, that was the very first I played through it.
Oh, wow.
The reason I looked so elite,
oh, damn.
The reason I looked so elite in it, Skaz, was lots of editing. So,
oh, there you go. Mad skills.
Yeah,
mad skills.
Yeah. Because that was the that LP.
So
fuck
wait,
you.
I might have played Metro before you then.
I played Metro 20.
Well, you played Metro when we were doing the podcast.
Yeah,
I was still living in Norwich when I first played Metro.
Metro came out in 2013.
Yeah, I remember when it was a fucking hulking fucking nightmare to play on hardware.
I think.
By the time we started the podcast, hardware had gotten a bit better.
Yeah, I didn't play Metro when it first came out.
Ah, see, I did.
Oh, then, then you did. You did play it before.
So I didn't realise. In my head, you were the one, you'd played it before I had, or we'd played it about the same time.
No, I didn't... I can't...
I never finished it. I ain't going to lie. Like, I'd always get to roughly the same part and then fucking rage quit. But I always try and play it over and over and over again. And as I say, when Redux came out on Linux, I tried my hardest to go... Because, I mean, when it was on Linux, I was like, fuck, mate, I've got to buy Redux.
I can tell you, as of right now, I played Metro 2033. I finished it on January the 1st, 2014.
Oh, there you go. Wait, is that just because of the end date of the Let's Play, or?
No,
is that just because when Steam tells you
Steam's last play date was January the 1st, 2014, which sounds right, because I remember finishing on New Year's Day, so that is correct.
2014, so Metro 2033, last played September 13th, 2011.
There you go, so you played a good 3 years before me.
Goddamn.
Well, two and a bit. And then Metro Last Light, September the 14th, 2014. And that's when I played it through and recorded the Let's Play as I went through.
Oh, shit. I've never launched Last Light Redux. Apparently.
Do you just mean Last Light? Because I said, was there a Last Light Redux?
No, there's a lot. Yeah, Metro Last Light Redux.
Oh, I played Last Light. I've got the Enhanced Edition on PC as well. There we go.
Good job.
Install.
Yeah, and I've got Metro Exodus and Exodus Enhanced.
Oh,
I've never launched those either.
I'll now install Enhanced.
Although it's had fixes as of May 21st.
Mm.
So,
there you
it's
go.
All good.
I feel I was late to the Metro series, as it were.
I mean, fucking, dude, could you imagine playing that on Steam Deck?
Yeah.
Because it's on Switch.
Well, there you go.
Metro, the Redux versions of the games are on Switch.
On the Wikipedia page for Stalker, there's this attendees at fan festival Stalkerfest 2009. And she's a load of people in gas masks. Honestly, I'm gonna send this to you, Skaz. This is quite funny. I don't know why, but I just find that amusing.
Let's have a look. Let's have a look. Where is he? That's fantastic.
What must have the hotel been thinking when all these people walked in?
They're like, what the fuck? Yeah, but then when you say stalker, they probably got the wrong idea there as well, didn't they? It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, we're doing Stalker Fest. There'll be a lot of people turn up for the wrong reasons. Oh, I thought it was going to... there's going to be a load of sort of ex-boyfriends there.
You're going proper creep now.
Yeah. No ex-boyfriends explain they're going to get the latest in GPS tracker technology. But no, they're surrounded by loads of people in gas masks.
Mate.
Oh, dear. It's
beautiful.
Well.
Who do you think is more hardcore?
Stalkers, obviously. They just shoot them.
yeah, that's an anomaly.
Throw a bolt at it.
Fucking and down they go.
You see, I think Stalk would make a fantastic. That'd be a fantastic one to make one of these little mini series over.
Right.
We should film it. All we need is some gas masks.
All we need is some gas masks
and some bolts to throw at things.
Oh dear.
Well, look, the great thing is, because everybody wears a gas mask, you could just all play those, you could play those about 20 different characters because no one could tell. How many different Russian accents can you put on?
None.
Yes, comrade.
Good job, dude. Good job. I'm expecting someone to knock on your door. Like, seriously, you know when you had the squad?
I'm Ukrainian, comrade.
like I said, I can just imagine when the squad turned up to fuck you up when you were standing out when you were doing the stuff for the farm.
Did you see the I mean they did it's quite sad they died. Did you see the Ukrainian little outpost island that got attacked by the Russian ship?
No.
So this Russian ship basically ordered this Ukraine, not one of the Ukraine islands, they said to him, it's called Snake Island. And said to him,
right.
And said to him, surrender now, or, you know, surrender now, basically. And Ukraine's only 13, and then the border guards are even not there when equipped. All photo, their response was to the Russian ship, said, this is Russian warship, we demand that you surrender now. And their response was, Russian warship, fuck you. And then And it's sad.
I'm loving them more and more.
They all died, unfortunately. But
oh, mate, but that was style. Yeah. I'm sorry that they died. My God, stylish motherfuckers.
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Though they did fail to follow my rules of life, but. I mean, I wouldn't say that telling them to fuck off was try not to be a cunt. That was golden. I'd give them gold stars for that. Yeah.
Well, that's become almost like a rallying cry because it's like, well, it's great. It's a great people didn't see. They were outnumbered, outgunned, but they still thought, fuck you. We're not going to give in. And they've become martyrs, really, in a way. It's sad, but it's what it is. Anyway, we're back onto the sad things again, Skaz. So I suggest we wrap up.
Yeah.
So thank you for watching/and/or listening to this podcast. If you've enjoyed this, you can join us for our next podcast on Saturday, the 12th of March at 9:30 GMT. You can watch that on YouTube at youtube.com/randnerds or twitch.tv/randnerds. We also do a games night. Our next one is this Tuesday, which is the 1st of March. We're currently playing through Vermintide 2. And you can watch my stream at twitch.tv/thesuffolkram.
And I'm at twitch.tv/Skazius, SK4ZZI0US.
So once again, thank you guys for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you in a fortnight.